We all know that in their original form, the days of Sphira, with the month of Iyar being at the center of the days of Sphira, were days of Simcha and Yontif as we get closer and closer towards Kabbalah Satorah. Sadly enough, with the events that took place, the tragic events that took place during the time of Rabbi Akiva, with the death of the Talmid Rabbi Akiva, these days took on a different nature, days of Avelos. However, again, in their source, in their original form, their days of Simcha and Yontov, and Bezat Hashem, in the future once again, that state will be restored, and as we, Bezat Hashem, get closer and closer to that point in time, every day we're a little bit closer, and through ourselves we can turn that into a reality, again restoring the original Simcha and glory of those days, which we have been privileged in our times to already see the beginning of that restoration, the day with here in Eretz Yisrael, tremendous events taking place, the establishment of the State of Israel, reconnecting to Yerushalayim in 1967, took place dafka during these days of Iyar. And the Simcha of Iyar is being restored. And it's a special, special Simcha and privilege to have with us today Rav Yehuda Michel to help us appreciate, tap into that Simcha and special Avoda of the days of Iyar. I want to thank Rav Yehuda. Thank you very much for coming out here. Yishar Koach, a Simcha and a Tanag. Yishar Koach.
Ribono shel Olam, atah tzivisanu al-yedei Moshe avdecha l'sfor sfiras ha'omer. Whether or not we say this little tefillah at the end of counting sfiras ha'omer every night, it's printed even in the art scroll, so it's okay to quote it. Kidei l'tareinu m'kliposeinu m'tumoseinu. We're counting this sfira. Svartam lachem imachmas ha'shabes sheva shabbasos tmimos diena. 7 weeks. The Tara Veskadesh Bikdusha Shalmala. To purify ourselves and to draw down holiness in the highest way. Val Yideze, and through this counting, Yushpashefa Rav Bichol Olamos, we affect all of the worlds. Vasakin is Nafshaseinu, to make a tikkun on our nefesh, Ruchoseinu v'nishmoseinu, on our nefesh, Aruach Neshama, L'tahareinu, L'kadshenu b'kdushascha Eliona. We're in days of awesome holiness. We are in the midst of an unbelievable tkufa. The Ramban describes these days between Pesach and Shavuos as a b'china of Chol HaMoed, one long yontif, with intermediate days, day after day, every day a new spiritual opportunity. Svar Makadoshim, the Talmid Baal Shem Tov, describe these days and parallel them to the Zayin Nikiyim, the 7 days of purity, of counting for a husband and wife to be together, to be intimate together. As we draw nearer and nearer to Kabbalah Satorah, to that place of intimacy with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh describes the concept of Sfira Sa'omer, that Sfira comes from the root of Sapir, a precious gem, a Yahalom, a diamond. A diamond that falls into the dirt is still a diamond that needs to be polished and cleaned. What we're doing during these days is cleaning and polishing the diamond through an inner working, through an avodas pnim. The avoda is one of yearning, of tshuka, of preparing ourselves to be a kli, a vessel, to draw down, to connect to the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Matan Torah. the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov quote the pasuk that the first pasuk that I heard quoted in Shalvim when Rav Galinsky introduced the avoda of Shana Aleph to us. It's also printed on the inside of the Talmud Shas. Im tvakshena kakasef, if you will yearn after it and desire it, like we care about money, v'chamat monim t'chapsen, and we search after it, like we look for coins, for gold coins, as tavin yiras Hashem v'das elokim t'imtza. Then, only then, when we desire a closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the way we care about money, the way we care about our possessions, our matmonim, and our kesef, then, only then, with the yearning on that level, will we be able to have that connection with Hashem. And the Talmidei HaBaal Shem Tov explained that the letters of Chimat Monim are the same as Mem Tes Monim, that we're counting 49. That during these 49 days that we're counting, we're putting the Torah at the center of our lives, and a relationship that's deep and that's real and that's tangible with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is at the center of our focus. For the last their days of Mein Avelos, Steinsaltz prefers to relate to the aspect of Avelos that expresses itself in Kovid Rosh, seriousness. Sumayer talks about the idea that when we're not shaving and when we're not listening to music, it's not just that we should be depriving ourselves to feel sad, but it's supposed to awaken us, to make us aware. When we're not doing something, to stop and think, what's the reason why we're not doing it? But there are days of Kovid Rosh, where Steinsaltz explains that we're eliminating a lot of the things that distract us and that make us focus on our externals in order to draw our attention to the internal world, to the world of Pnimius. And day after day after day we count. And we count time to make time count, one day after another, continuously recognizing that every day is important and every day is another step. But understanding that as we're counting each day, day after day, we're looking back from where we came from. Today is 17 days, which are 2 weeks and 3 days in the Omer. Today is 20 days, which are 2 weeks and 6 days in the Omer. I didn't even write that down. It's pretty quick. We're not just counting day after day. We're reassessing our state and our place, shlav achar shlav, counting not just the fixed increments on a daily basis that we're moving upward, up this ladder, up this scale, to this moment of connection with Hashem, of Kabbalah, Satorah, to Revelation, but we're understanding it, that our counting is significant in the context of the process through which it takes place. That it takes place in stages. That in order to be Zocha, to that Tahara, to that Kedusha Elyona, to that avoda, that dveikus, we have to realize that it comes step after step, stage after stage. In the Shiurei Harav, one of Salvechik's most beautiful articles on the sacred and profane, on Kodesh V'chol, he describes that the dichotomy between religion and secularism, Kodesh and Chol, we have to understand that there are different expressions and manifestations of Kedusha. There's Kedushas Hazman that the Rav calls time consciousness. And then we have Kedushas Hamakom that the Rav refers to as place consciousness. In Jewish mysticism, in Kabbalah, and in Hasidus, this is referred to as Ashan. Olam, Shana, and Nefesh. Ayin, Shin, Nun. Olam relates to the world of space, to a place. Shana relates to time, and nefesh is that existence in the soul of the individual. That which exists in time exists in space as well. Olam, shana, and nefesh. If something exists in one dimension, it exists in another form. That same impetus, that same kedusha, that same expression, that same idea is manifest in a parallel dimension as well. If something exists in time, it also exists in space, as well as on a personal level, in the soul of the individual. We'll try to understand this reality, this phenomenon, al derech avoda, and try, the next few minutes that we have together, to put together some of the pieces, the individual pieces, that make up this month that we're experiencing during Iyar, and to try to put it in some context, al derech ha'avoda. Throughout Jewish history, anyone with a respect for Jewish history and an awareness of text, pashut pshat and text, knows that Iyar has been a time throughout our history, a time of divine blessing, a time of development, a month of growth, of yearning for closeness with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and a month where we've seen miraculous and unbelievable results from that yearning. If you take a look on the sheet in the top right-hand corner, the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu to conduct a census. Vayidaber Hashem Moshe b'midbar Sinai b'ol moed be'achad l'chodesh hasheni. In the second year after the Exodus, after Yitzis Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs Moshe Rabbeinu on the first day of the second month, which is Rosh Chodesh Iyar. Let's say, to Su'us Rosh Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael M'shpachosam, count every individual member of the Jewish people, because every single person matters. During Iyar, we know we're counting Sfiras HaOmer. We have to be aware that it's not just what we're doing now, but in the Midbar. Already the year following the Exodus, following the Yitzis Mitzrayim, already HaKadosh Baruch Hu was instructing Klal Yisrael to conduct a census, one person after another. Counting is just to say, you matter, you are a part of the big picture. 480 years after the Yitzis Mitzrayim, Vahi b'shmonim shana v'arba me'o shana l'tzeis b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim, in the fourth year of the reign of Shlomo HaMelech, b'chodesh ziv, who achodesh hasheni l'moch Shlomo, l'moch Shlomo al Yisrael, Vayiven Habayis Lashem. The second month of the year, Shlomo HaMelech, during Yerech Ziv, during the month of Ziv, Rashi points out that this is talking about the month of Iyar, we know the second biblical month. Shlomo HaMelech begins the process of building the Beis HaMikdash. Nothing in Tanakh is written haphazardly, coincidentally, for without a purpose. The Gemara Megillah tells us that a Nevuah that is written down, codified for generations, is written L'doros. It has significance for eternity. Vayiven Habayis Lashem, and the place that Shlomo HaMelech built, and the Psukim go through, the next 25 Psukim or so, go through the different dimensions that Shlomo HaMelech began to build the Beis HaMikdash with, and at the end of the Perek, Vayiven HaSachatzer, Pnimis, etc., Vashana HaRevias, Yusad Beis Hashem, V'yerech Ziv. During the month of Ziv, splendor, shining, whatever you want to call it, Al Pi Pshat, Shlomo HaMelech began the process of building. But the first pasuk tells us, B'chodesh Ziv, Shlomo Vayiven Habayis Lashem. At the end of the parak, the pasuk tells us, during the month of Ziv, Yusad Beis Hashem V'yerech Ziv. What was it? Was there the building, or was there the founding? And why is there a repetition in the Psukim that a dafka took place during Yerech Ziv? During the month of Ziv, during the month of Iyar. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that Iyar is called Ziv, Shinolu Bo Ziv Tanei Haolam, because the beacons of light that illuminated the world were born during the month of Iyar. The Avos and some of the Imalos were born specifically during the month of Iyar, and the Bnei Yisoster brings down a remez that Iyar is Osios, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and Rachel. But Al Pi Pshat, the fact that in Sefer Malachim Aleph it's mentioned twice that the Beis HaMikdash began to be built during this month. First it was built, and then reiterates and clarifies that the Beis HaMikdash was not completed. The bulk of the work was not done during Iyar. One step in the process took place during the month of Iyar, during Yerach Ziv, and that step is significant enough to be mentioned twice. And the Targum Yonasan, on the right side, so the Targum explains what this, what's going on with this Yerach Ziv is. And he says, V'Yerach Ziv Nitzanayahu Yarcha Tinyana, that the second month, the second month, the Yarcha Tinyana, the second month, is called Nitzanaya. That Ziv relates to this concept of a Nitzan. Nitzan means a bud. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara also, that during this month, healing plants begin to, you know, come to their full blossom. Anybody who was here, Nisan Nisei, the Berachas Ilan, during Nisan Nisi, the buds are all around. You see the pictures in Kol Olam Kulo of all the Rebbes going out to say the Berachas. We were Zochem, my wife's grandmother, she's 93, Meiv Esrim. She was in our house at the very end of Nisan, with only a couple days to go until Rosh Chodesh Iyar. She was at our house on our daughter's birthday, and she was out looking at the trees, admiring with a clementine tree and a grapevine and pomegranates. And she was excited about it. She said, it's beautiful. So I said, Safa, did you ever say, did you say the Berachas Ilan? She said, what? I said, did you say the Berachas Ilan? She lived for over 50 years in the same building as Moshe Feinstein. I mean, you know, in Lower East Side. There's not a person who's unfamiliar with Torah. She said, I've never said it. There's not for trees in Lower East Side. So I said, come say it. So it took 93 years. She was able to say the Berachas Ilan. Anybody who's walking with eyes open sees that there's things are in bloom and everything is colorful. The Gemara tells us that it's dafka during this month that healing plants come to their full blossom. Nitzanaya, these buds, ripen. That's the remez that Iyar is Osios, Ani Hashem Rofecha. It's a remez to the fact that these healing plants that are in nature are coming out during this time. In any event, the fact that it's Yerach Ziv, it's mentioned twice. We have to notice and take note. After the Churban Bayis Rishon, Klal Yisrael ends up in Bavel, Nenu, Mesudasan Shal Achashverosh, sitting at the Seuda of Achashverosh, who is dressed in the clothing of the Big Day Kahuna, eating from Kelim, Mekelim Shonim, disconnected from Yishalayim, disconnected from their heritage, disconnected from their identity. Intermarriage was rampant. Rampant. Assimilation across the board in Klal Yisrael. Ezra and Nehemiah at the end of the biblical canon start trying to like inspire the masses to come back to Eretz Yisrael. And Sefer Ezra, after finally getting everyone together, trying to encourage people, having public readings of the Sefer Torah, making all these takanos and institutionalizing liturgy and different inyanim of like public Torah reading and trying to create a community again, trying to build up Klal Yisrael and their roots to Torah and Eretz Yisrael. B'shama Hashenis L'Baal Mabesa L'Kim L'Yushalayim B'chodesh Hasheni. Here we are in the second year of Ezra's effort to bring Klal Yisrael back. We find ourselves again in the second month. We find ourselves in the month of Iyar. And what's happening over there? With all these foreign workers and with the permission of the king, look three lines up in the bottom of that source, the third source from Sefer Ezra, the sixth Perek. V'yistu ha'bonim es heichal Hashem. The builders laid the foundations for Heichal Hashem during the month of Iyar. Vayamidu ha'kohanim alubashim b'chatzotzos. The kohanim with their regalia and their chatzotzos, the trumpets, v'alvim b'nei asapim tzilatayim, with their instruments, l'halel es Hashem al yidei David melech Yisrael. The restoration of Malchus Yisrael took place in the second base of Mikdash with the laying of the foundations for the second base HaMikdash during the month of Iyar. There was rampant intermarriage and assimilation. The majority of Klal Yisrael were not involved in it. The builders were not Yerei Shamayim. They weren't even Jewish, most of them. And yet the response of Ezra in this beginning stage, the restoration of Malchus Yisrael, Vayanu b'halil v'hodos l'Hashem kitok l'olam chazdo al Yisrael. Pshat is, you got a whole Klal Yisrael to whoever was there, whoever was willing to be open to it, and they sang, and they danced, and they played music, and they celebrated. Celebrated what? It was a Shver Matzav. Well, things were not Gishmak then. They had just gone through a treacherous exile in Bava. Most of Klal Yisrael were not involved in the second Aliyah. Most of Klal Yisrael were not involved in the building of the temple, in the beginning of the laying of the foundations of the temple, Al Pi Pshat. What's all the celebration for? Again, we have a recognition of development, stage by stage, step by step. And in a respect for Jewish history, Me'aprat El Aklal, every single movement to restore Malchus Beis David throughout Jewish history by the Nevi'im, not by the Nevi'im. They were Gedolei Hador. Ezra was a Gadol. He was the head of the Moetzes Gedolei Torah. Ezra declares, Hallel and Hodal Hashem Kitov Kilom Chazdo Al Yisrael. Yisrael. And by Amim Ahim Bazman Azeh, in the continuous progression toward the restoration of Malchus Yisrael, in Hei Iyar and Tav Shin Ches in 1948, also during the month of Ziv, during the second month, it's no coincidence that it's dafka taking place during this month. After 2,000 years, the restoration of a government, the restoration of some form of civil life, of Jewish life in the land of Israel, it's nothing short of miraculous. And that was respected by Kim'at, the consensus of Gedol Yisrael and Yerei Shamayim, because it was so poshut and obvious. But the people who built the state, many of them weren't from. But the people who built the base on the second base on Mikdash weren't from either. Most of them weren't even Jewish, they're foreign laborers. We have a concept in the sugya of binyan beis hamikdash of bonim b'chol v'achar kach makdishim. It's built in a profane way, and then afterwards the sanctity begins to rest. I don't know who built these walls. We don't know who laid the foundation, laid the tiles. What if an Arab laid the tiles over here? Does that make this place any less holy? What if a yid without a yarmulke who didn't keep Shabbos? What if he came and installed the electricity over here? It's not al taras hakodesh, so what? So therefore, sitting in this room of all the Torah and all the nigunim and all the avodas Hashem and all the chazering and all the pushing and all the avoda that goes on here, that's not mekadesh the room, that doesn't affect the marble and the stones. There are different stages. There are different mitzvahs that Klal Yisrael commanded upon our entrance to Eretz Yisrael. First is to establish a melech. Second is to fight the wars. Why fighting Amalek? And third is the binyan beis hamikdash. Three stages. The first stage relates to building a government. The second stage relates to establishing a military so we can defend ourselves. And the third stage is the binyan beis hamikdash. That's the hashuras hashchina. That's the ultimate goal. And let no one think that the job is done after the first and second. Until there's a complete binyan beis hamikdash habayit shlishi. Until there's Hashem shofein b'tzion. So the job is not done. But there's a hemshech. There's a progression. There's a movement. Today is 21 days, which are 3 weeks. And now, what are we talking about the 3 weeks that took place before? Because every step that we take, we have to understand it in context of history. We have to understand it in context of the experience of what we're coming from and where we're going to. This week is Pesach Sheni. This week is Pesach Sheni. Now, Pesach Sheni takes place during Sfiras HaOmer. Before, there's a makor on the left side of the page there in the middle. At the Medrash, you know, Vehine Nadvarim, Rabbi Yochanan said, Medrash Rabban Vayikra, Lo Malti Mitzvah HaOmer Kalabeinacha. That Sfiras HaOmer shouldn't be something which is which we're flippant with. It shouldn't be something light, which something should be taken to heart, taken seriously. Shalayde Mitzvah HaOmer, because of Mitzvah HaOmer, Zacha Avram Lirash is Eretz Canaan. Because of the Omer, Avram Avinu had the zchus of taking over Eretz Canaan, of inheriting the land. As the pasuk says, "V'nasati l'cha l'zaracha acharecha," I'll give to you and to your children after you. Al manas v'ataz brisi tishmor. What bris is Avram Avinu keeping? What's the covenant? Ve'ez azeh mitzvah sa'omer. That there's some connectivity between the fulfillment of the mitzvah sa'omer with the taking over of Eretz Yisrael, the Yerusha of the land of Israel. What's the shaychus? What's the connection? Is it that Omer is something which is gruff, is low, barley is animal feed, and then it has to be, it's elevated? Maybe that's it, that the Korban HaOmer is something which represents us taking the physical, elevating it to something spiritual, taking the material, the lowly, and injecting it, and elevating it? That it's starting with something chol and achar kach makdishim, maybe that's it? Maybe it's because Sfiras HaOmer is something that's taking place step by step, stage by stage, and the kinyan of Eretz Yisrael is something which takes stage by stage, shlav after shlav, just like we're counting day after day. Pesach Sheni is this week. Pesach Sheni, those Jews who were bringing the Atzmos Yosef, those Jews who were the Chever Kedisha, bringing up the bones of Yosef from Mitzrayim, were not able to participate in the Korban Pesach because of Tumas Meis. So Avar Zmano, Batal Karbano. We have a rule. Avar Zmano, the time passed. The Batal Karbano, they were Pator. These Jews didn't have to bring the Korban. But they turned to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, Lama Nigaro, why should we be held back? Why should we lose out? We also want participate in this. We want to be part of the Chabura. We also want to be involved in this. We want to commemorate the Yetzias Mitzrayim. We want to celebrate. We want to have this aspect of our Avodas Hashem. We don't want the Patur. We don't want the way out. There's an unprecedented Isarusa Dilatata, a movement from below where these Jews are like doing something that hadn't been done before. It's revolutionary. It's something unbelievable. They're creating a new pathway to serve Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Kachav HaKevi Yachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a second chance and says, okay, on that day, Amalek attacked. But Am Yisrael got a second chance. Those Jews, Lamani Girl, why should we have to leave out? Why should we be left out of this? The Yeridas Haman is taking place on the 14th of Iyar. From the Otzer Matlas Lidim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu just sends down Shefa, sends down bounty, blessing to sustain us. Well, it seems like, what are we going to eat? We're stuck here in the Midbar. What are we doing here? It's better there. It was better in Golos. It was better in Mitzrayim. We had watermelon. We had meat. We had everything. Then what are we going to do over here? And bam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends us a gift from the Otzer Matlas Chinam. And the pallbearers of the She'eris HaPleita from the ashes of the Holocaust, schlepping the Atmutziose from the ashes from the dead, coming out of the concentration camps with numbers on their arms and rifles, standing up against insurmountable odds, the entire Arab world. Lama Nigaro, why should we be prevented? Why should we be held back? Because of Tumas Mace of Golos? Because of the past? Because of all the death and the suffering of exile, of the destruction of Churban Europe? Why should we be held back? I don't know causation, correlation, not a theologian. It's not a place for us to discuss philosophy of. But Lamaisa, the wheels of Hashgacha turn. History unfolds. And immediately following the darkness and the Tumas Mace, the death of European Jewry, comes a rebirth in Eretz Israel. But it's still not complete. After 1948, it's still not complete. On the back of the Makoros, the well-known Maisa of Tzvi Yehuda Kook Zatzal, on Yom HaAtzmaut in 1967, the beginning of Iyar, in Merkaz Harav, gave his famous Sicha. I read it first in Sefer Yelel HaShachar, one of the most important books ever read in my entire life. You don't have it, you haven't read it, so it's a kedai thing to learn, to read, to accompany you in life. It's something very special. Rabbi Mordechai Willig from why he was there. He was here for his year in Israel, and he was in Merkaz Harav that night. He heard Rabbi Tzvi to give the shmooze. Rabbi Tzvi starts talking about when the state was declared, when the partition plan and the celebration of Yom HaAtzmaut, he felt like, how can I celebrate this? It's 19 years of statehood, and I just don't feel like going out to the streets and dancing. How can I dance? There's an incomplete Yeshua. And he says over here, it's Arti Chileku. They divided up my land. How am I supposed to celebrate? Where's Hebron? Where's Shechem? Where's the Roma? Where's the Kotel Maravi? Where's Harabayis? Where's Yericho? Where are the holy cities in Yehud and Shomron? How are we supposed to celebrate this state? It's piecemeal. It's a bone. It's not the complete thing. And he describes how Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalaf, the Heilige Meimorim, said to him, that's not the derech. First they were both sad and kvetching together and feeling broken together. And they said, that's not the way. And they got it together, in the third line up on the bottom of that makor. Kavurus manito shashu b'amru ke'achav, we got it together and we said together, Me'eis Hashem, Haisa Zos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed us in this way. He niflos be'inenu, it's wondrous in our eyes. Nikba achodemes, nase amaisa, it is what it is. Achshav yish l'smoach, now the avodah is to be besimcha, l'kabel es ha-geula, b'chol mahalach ishtal shlis dargoteah, to accept Hashem's gift, however that gift is being presented. It's only part? Okay. Thank Hashem for that part of it. Less than 3 weeks later, the outbreak of the Six-Day War, and the Jewish world is thrown into chaos. And the Pesukim of Shir Shirim express this mood and what happened in those days. Hishva Shamati Eschem Benos Yerushalayim. Beware, listen, O nations, who intend on descending and invading Yerushalayim. B'tzvaos v'ayelos ha'sadeh. If you violate your oath, you'll be defenseless like gazelles in the field. You'll be stuck like deer in the headlights. Im ta'iru v'im ta'oru es ha'ava ad shetechpat. If you dare provoke the Ribbono Shel Olam, or disturb me, if you hate me and try to get in between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at a time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is desiring us, at a time when Ava ad shetechpat, if you dare close the Straits of Tiran and the Suez Canal and mass troops on the border of Egypt in 1967, and Nasser is talking and Hussein is talking about wiping Israel off the face of the map and pushing the Jews into the ocean, Jordanian snipers are shooting down into Yerushalayim, there's massive artillery movement by the Syrians on the Golan Heights, Russia is talking in the United Nations and actively supporting Syria with weapons and with money, German scientists are delivering the formula for poisonous gas to the Egyptian army to gas Jews again. And Elie Wiesel and Abraham Joshua Heschel in New York at a press conference are talking about the next stage of the Holocaust. This mobilization of jihad. Kol dodi hine zeba. Behold the voice of my beloved. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts in this world through the strength of the Israeli Air Force, with tremendous hashkacha, medaling al harim, leaping over mountains, mekapitz al advos, skipping over hills. In under 3 hours, the complete decimation of the Egyptian Air Force, bringing Nasser to his knees. Hebron, Beit Lechem, Yehudim Shomron, the Golan, the Sinai, Gaza, Yerushalayim, the Old City, Doma Doma Letzvi, Doma Doni Letzvi, Ofer Hayalim, and Hashem's swiftness to redeem us, my beloved resembles a gazelle, young at heart. I thought I'd be alone forever. Klal Yisrael, we're mamash at the brink. Buses of students from YU, I remember my history teacher in 10th grade, Mr. Gali, talking about how they just didn't have class. They closed up shop and went down to Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza and were screaming gewalt. Because the news reports coming in from the BBC and from the international press, from the AP, was that there was a bloodbath. And that the streets of Yerushalayim were flowing with Jewish blood. There was total hysteria and pandemonium. We thought that that was it. We thought that it was 19 years, and then that's it, a failed experiment. It's over, done. Hinei ze'ol me'achar kisleinu. There's my beloved standing behind the wall, mashgiach minachalonos, meitzitz minacharakim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there the whole time, observing through the latticework, looking through the windows. After the miracle of Chanukah that took place right here, so we say, Al Anisim, Al Niflos, Rabim Bad Ma'atim. Do you know that in terms of the ratio, in terms of the numbers, do you know we were outnumbered 20 to 1 during the Six-Day War? 20 to 1. That's 4 times the amount of Greeks to Chashmonai. 4 times the amount when Chazal established Rabim Bad Ma'atim, we overcame in 1967 in the Six-Day War. All the animals in the biblical zoo were killed, they were put to sleep. Because the mayor of Yerushalayim thought that if in case the Yerushalayim is shelled and bombed and hit directly, someone, a terrorist, the Jordanian, will try to free the animals and create pandemonium and chaos in the streets to prevent Makas Arov in Yerushalayim. They put the animals to sleep. 10,000 body bags were prepared by the Chevra Kadisha, and they ordered another 50,000 more from European countries. The Chevra Kadisha, the Yerushalmis, Reb Chaim Shmulevitz clapped on the bima and said, no more Seder. No more learning. Everybody out to fill sandbags. The Rabbanim of Yerushalayim paskin that the Tenuva factory should operate on Shabbos. And the Rabbanim went down to Tenuva on Friday night to continue packaging milk and cheese so that people would have something to eat because the war was coming. The contingency plan for the city of Yerushalayim was that Gan HaAtzmaut and Gan HaPamo, next to the old Inbal, whatever it's called now, were going to be cemeteries in the middle of Yerushalayim. They're planning that in case there's a study, they're going to have mass graves over there. According to the contingency plan and according to the estimates, the conservative estimate was that a minimum of 400,000 casualties would be sustained by the Jewish state. 400,000 Jews. That's the equivalent of 3 million Americans being killed. That's what they're preparing for. Surrounded by Syria and the north, and the Jordanians, and the Lebanese, and the Egyptians, backed up by everyone, including the Russians. There wasn't a chance. There was no way that this was going to happen. In the Knesset, they took all the files from the Knesset. And you know the shrine of the book, the Dead Sea Scrolls? They took them underground, and they put them in like vaults underground. Because they were assuming that the Knesset would be leveled. There was mass hysteria. Rabbi Nachman says in Likutei Moharan that Iyar is Roshei Tevos, Oiva Yeshuvu Yevoshu Raga. Oiva Yeshuvu Yevoshu Raga. Mamish, like in a blink of an eye, boom, the Egyptian Air Force is wiped out. Yerushalayim is Biadenu, Harabai is Biadenu. Massive parts of Klal Yisrael, of Eretz Yisrael, the size of the Jewish state tripled in under a week. So more than 40 years have passed since those unbelievable open miracles. Nisim Gluyim Mamash. Hanitzanim Niru Ba'aretz. Continuing in Shir Hashirim. The buds. The buds are seen in the land. Eitaz Amir Higia. The time for song, for the time for harvest, for song has arrived. The Kol HaTor. And the song of the turtle dove, the voice of the turtle dove, Nishma Bartzeinu. Iyar is called Chodesh Ziv, Nitzanaya, the Targum says. These are the days where Nitzanim Niru Ba'aretz, where the buds, where the flourishing and the redemption are seen, Kipshuto in Eretz Israel. Don't take my word for it. Rav Eliashiv Shlita, in 1949, signed a Kol Kore with a group of tzaddikim from Yerushalayim, Rabbanim from Yerushalayim, including Rav Tukachinsky, to support a united religious political party. It was running for office in Yerushalayim. And the language of the Kol Kore, the language of the letter signed by Rav Yosef Shalom Eliashiv Shlita, is right there on the Daf Mekoros. Noz v'Hashem al shezachinu b'rov rachamav v'chasad av l'ros hanitzonim harishonim shel kibbutz Golios imakamasa shel medinas Yisrael. It was so obvious. It was so obvious in 1949. It was so clear. That even then, before the open miracles of the Six-Day War, it was so pashut that the Nitzanim Niru Ba'aretz, Kol HaTor Nishma Ba'aretzeinu, that the voice of Mashiach, the footsteps, were heard over the mountaintops. Malchus comes in Hadraga, comes step by step. It's not just in terms of the Kibosh of Eretz Yisrael, but it's everything. That's what Chodesh Iyar represents. It's the essence of the month. And the Sefer Yetzira, brought down by the Shem Shmuel, by the Bnei Yisrael, by the Pri Tzadok, Tzadok HaKoyin of Lublin, by the Sachet Shaver, by the Dinever, it's all here on the page. You can read it Kipshuto. Every single month is charged with a different divine vitality, with a different koach, with a different energy. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kevyach channels himself through the koach, expresses his koach in the month through a different letter for each month. Every month has a tziruch. A shame, every month has a shevet, every month has a color on the different breastplate of the Kohen, a different shevet that walked in the midbar, and every single month has a letter, according to the Sefer Yetzira. And then our job is not to be involved in the starim, but kipshuto, according to the Pritzadik, in the name of the Sefer Yetzira, and all these tzaddikim, the letter of the month of Iyar is the Vav HaChibur. The entire month of Iyar is filled with connectivity, one day after another. Connecting Nisan to Sivan, Pesach to Shavuos. Every day, another day, Vih, another day, Vih. Shnei Shavuos, Vih, Shlosh Yamin. Vav connects, brings one stage to the next. Ma'prat el haklal. Iyar is a time of personal development, of inner working, of national development, of looking back, seeing the future, counting, of appreciating opportunities, and counting and appreciating our blessings. But there's also another piece of the puzzle over here, and this, like, just this afternoon, like popped into my head. This, next week is Yehulah Derashvi. Next week is Lag BaOmer. The revealed Torah, Darash Bechtav, that the whole world, that's the whole world, experienced some aspect of revelation in Har Sinai. Everybody in the world is connected to the Bible, is connected to Torah Shebichtav. It's there. place for everyone. The Septuagint opened it up. Torah Bichtav, Maimon Har Sinai took place in Chutz La'aretz. Torah Balpeh, Talmud Bavli, Chutz La'aretz took place outside of the land of Israel. Torah Nister, the secrets of the Torah, the Pnimius of the Torah, the Sitrei Torah, the inner world of Torah and Mesorah are revealed only in Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in the holy city of Meiron. It's as if to say the language of the Bavli, of Tashma, of listening, is a more distant level than the language of the Yerushalmi, which is Tachazi, the level of sight. And we're introducing an idea that goes, Tashma, come and listen, come and hear. But hearing is something much more distant than Tachazi, which is what the Talmud Yerushalmi uses. That's the same language as the Zohar HaKadosh. When the Rebbein Rashbi, when the Zohar HaKadosh introduces a new idea, it's Tachazi, come see. Because here you can see it, it's there. There are secrets of the Torah, that's what the Zohar HaKadosh and Rashbi represent, and there are secrets of every single Jew. Every single one of us has a secret. Every single Jew has infinite Kedusha, infinite holiness, infinite potential. And deep inside every single one of us, there's a yearning for Dveikus Bashem. Some of us are more fortunate to be able to express that in the rubric of Halacha, of Mesorah. We are Zocha, we are fortunate to be able to have the tools and the resources and the knowledge and the desire to grow in learning, to be connected to Jewish tradition, to texts. Don't take that for granted. The majority of Klal Yisrael do not. The majority of Klal Yisrael are completely disconnected to the internal reality of the soul. Every single Jew is holy. Every single Yid is a chelek elokam imal, elokai neshama shenasat nebi tahori. Regardless of what I do on the outside, the neshama is completely pure. Every single Jew in their essence is completely pure. That's what Lag BaOmer is. Lag BaOmer is relating to the pnimius of the Torah by recognizing the pnimius of every Jew. That's why the avodah during these days is being metakin the chayt of the students of Rabbi Akiva. The pagam is not being knowing kavod zebazeh. If we don't see the pnimius of every Jew as totally pure and totally good, so how can we see good in the person who's machal Shabbos, who's cursing out his parents, who's doing all sorts of komini toeva? Of course we can look down on other people if we don't look at the pnimius. The avodah during these days is to take a step back and see the context of history. The tzaddikim who survived the war were able to. The stories about Rav Kustman and going to Yushalayim on Yom HaAtzmaut. And one of the Talmidim, some say it was Rav Adari, formerly Yeshiv Rakotel, asked, Rebbe, you know, in town, there's dancing, there's boys, girls, it's schwer, it's not, it's pritzestick, it's not, you know. So Rav Kustman replied famously, someone who saw the destruction, the death of young people, revels and celebrates the life of young people living their lives, being alive. If we have a respect for history, if we have a context for the Jewish experience, then we see the state of Israel and our neighbors and all the rest of Klal Yisrael in a totally different light. You can look at Tel Aviv and say it's geferlach, it's no good, it's this, it's empty. We have Tel Aviv celebrating its 100th anniversary. I wish I would have brought the article. Rabbi Lau spoke beautifully at a ceremony marking the 100th year of the city of Tel Aviv, which, for most of us, probably we hear Tel Aviv, we think, boom, something secular, paradigm of the other side. Not where we're holding. He said, do you realize how many mikvos there are, how many daily minyanim, how many daf yomi shirim there are? Now on a weekly basis there are more and more people coming to shul, coming to learn, coming to explore Yiddishkeit. Every single Jew has a secret. Every single Jew deep inside has kedusha. If you listen very carefully during these days, Badavka, during these days of Sfiras HaOmer, during the month of Iyar, if we listen carefully, you can hear the soul of the quote-unquote secular chalotzim crying out. Lama nigara. Why should we be held back from the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? We don't have Shabbos, we don't have Kashrus, we don't have Talmud Torah, we don't have Sifrei Musar and Sifrei Hasidus, we don't know from Avodas Hashem. So lama nigara, why should we be held back from the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? And where do we get off saying, it's possible, they're involved, these Friar Yidin are involved, the Apikorsim and the Kofrim are involved in Binyan Eretz Yisrael, so it's a game, it's a passage for a Ben Torah to be involved in it. What? And if they all started wearing tefillin and not keeping kosher or Shabbos, well, we can't wear tefillin either? It's a mitzvah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a gift from the Ribbono Shel Olam. But we're relating to things on such an outside level. Maybe that's why we need Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, we need the revelation of the Zohar Dafka during this month, to respect that every single Jew is yearning for transcendence. In the 57th paragraph teaching in Orot, HaTchiyah, Rav Kook explains, Ka'et, now, during these days, V'zman ha'yoter karov l'keitz ha'yishua, the times when we're getting close to the completion of redemption, Kol hator nishma ba'artzeinu v'anitzanim niru ba'aretz, the voice of the turtle dove is heard in the land, and the buds are appearing. V'atzviya shel drishas or Hashem, shel drishas geula ruchanit elyona, the seeking of a supreme, spiritual, elevated way of life is present. Shel nehira el Hashem ba'al tuvo, holechet hi v'gadla. It's getting stronger and stronger, the yearning of Klal Yisrael to be connected to some supreme spiritual being is getting stronger and stronger. Ka'et hazman mechayiv laharbos kinyan b'torah hapnimit. Now, this generation demands and needs relating to the inner Torah, to the esoteric mysteries of the Torah, to the situation. Okay, you're a rationalist and Kabbalah is not your thing. Kabbalah is the theology of the Jewish people. We have to get used to it. It's a reality. But if we don't want to be connected to Kabbalah, Revolvi says, Sitri Torah is Lima HaMusr. That if a person learns Musr and involves themselves in Avodah Safnim, that's also called delving into the Sitri Torah. Because every Jew has a Pnimius just like the Torah has a Pnimius. And Rav Kook is explaining that it's not in our generation when we see this flourishing of the redemption that the yearning on an inner level is starting to express itself more. Therefore, b'chizyonot hakodesh she'in lahem mavoh shel hakshava, ko'echa b'salusa shel hanshama v'romamot v'rata b'orach hayah, hayeter zachim v'elyonim. We're drawn after a pure source, after something which is elevated, something which is supreme. Therefore, we have to involve ourselves in learning of Sefer HaZohar, Haporetz Nesivos Chadashos, or if not learning it, relating to it, respecting it, understanding it. Think about what's happening in the outside world, Chevra. What's happening in the outside world? What's being Moshech Jews during these days? Where are young Israelis going after the army? They're being drawn after the Ruach. Okay, it's an expression of the Sitra Achra, going east. But it's coming from a place where there's a very deep need for Ruchnis, a very deep need for Dveikus Bashem, for His Kashrus. Rav Kook is saying that in the days of Yimosa Mashiach, and Ikvaz Mashiach, in our days, we have to be open to this depth of Torah, HaPoreitz Netivot Chadashot, Mesim Midbar Derech, that's creating a pathway in a barren land, Mesilah Ba'arava, Hu B'chol Tvotom Uchanu L'Petach Piskei Geula, and it's not taking place in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the place where the secrets of the Torah are revealed, where the secrets of every single Jew are expressed. Two families, two sisters. A true story. Two sisters in Zalaszczyk, Poland in 1939. One sister gets on a boat to Palestine, another sister gets on a boat and ends up in Walla Walla, Washington, with her children moving to Queens. One has 24 grandchildren, and 32 great-grandchildren, all Jews. The other has 16 grandchildren, and seven great-grandchildren. The great-grandchildren are Jewish. But less than a third of the grandchildren are Jewish. Two-thirds of the family that ended up in America are wiped out from assimilation. It's my father's side of the family. And the other side who ended up, the sister who ended up in Eretz Israel in Palestine in 1939, with all the chalutzim and all the fry yidden that come from Nafi Karsim, they're all yidden, they're all Jews in Eretz Israel. And they'll come around eventually. Kol hator nishma ba'artzeinu, what's happening around us. Rabbi Nachman explains, in Likutei Etzos, Misha Rotzel Yod Ish Yisraeli Be'emes, if you really want to be a Yid, if we want to be a Jew in the ultimate form, Dahainu, what does that mean to be a Jew? Sheyelech Midarga Ladarga, someone who's growing step by step, Yashar Kima Yidei Kedush HaSeret Yisrael. The only way is Eretz Yisrael. his Eretz Yisrael is niknis, shlav after shlav after shlav, and then Kedusha comes down and enters our life, shlav after shlav after shlav. This is a period of polishing diamonds. Sfiras Omer, Meloshon Sapir, of cleaning up the ruby. It's pure, it's there. But me'aprat, on a personal level, el klal, the avoda during these days is to be open, hashkachas Hashem, to celebrate and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the unbelievable gift of Eretz Yisrael that we have today, and to not be complacent, but to be proactive and take an active involvement in the next step of Geula. They say in Maisa from the Or HaMeir, the Holy Or HaMeir, the student of the Chos of Lublin. The Or HaMeir is traveling through Europe. Some years after his Rebbe had passed away, and he stopped in a certain kreitzer, a certain inn, to spend the night there. And he was exhausted from his travels, but he just couldn't fall asleep, tossed and turned the whole night. In the morning, the innkeeper came to him and he said, "How did you sleep?" He said, I couldn't fall asleep. I just don't know what it was. My mind was racing and I was just had all these wild thoughts. I don't know what was going on. He said, "Was the bed uncomfortable?" He said, "No, the bed was great." He said, "Was it too hot?" He goes, "No, the window was open. There was a nice breeze coming in. The pillow was great. Everything was fine. I don't know what it was." "Yeah. I don't know, but what's with that clock on the wall? Something about that clock." And the innkeeper says, "Oh, that clock. Interesting. A long time ago, there was someone who looked just like you. A Hasidic Jew came through here. He was a Rebbe. He had some followers. He came through here and spent some time. And at the end, you know, I treated him very well. I took care of all of his needs. He said he was, they said that he was one of the leaders of the Jewish community in Lublin. He gave me, as a gift, he gave me his clock. He gave me his clock. And I hung it on the wall. Let's do it. So I hung it on the wall." And the Or HaMeir said, "Ah, I understand. That's the clock of the Chos of Lublin. That's what it was." Huh? Explain to this Talmidim. Most people will have a watch. The clock ticks. Tock, tick, tock, tick, tock. Another second, another minute gone by, another hour gone by, another day gone by in the past. Except that the clock of the Chos of Lublin, every minute that went by is one more step toward Geula, one more step toward Yeshua. Every second, every minute, another movement toward Mashiach, another step toward the redemption of the world. And I saw that clock and it was something that was bothering me so deeply because I realized it was my Rebbe's way of telling me, even after he died, I'm not doing enough to bring Mashiach. I'm not doing enough to bring about the revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, its ultimate form in the days of Mashiach Tzidkenu. During these days when we're counting, one day after another day after another day, we have to commit ourselves to the best of our ability to not just pass, cross another day off the calendar toward we're going home, but every day, another day toward Kabbalah HaTorah, toward self-actualization, every day toward that day when we have total dvikus with Hashem on a personal level, on a national level. We build bone and b'chol v'achar kach b'chishim. We have to work as much as we possibly can. Ben adam l'chaveiro, and respecting every single person, and respecting the contribution of every single Jew to the complete picture of the Jewish people. To polish our diamond of every single Jew, so that we be zochet to geula shleima b'mehera. Thank you very much.